Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. I want to talk to you tonight about embracing your child's heart. Deliberated for a little while on a proper title. Hopefully that will suit well. Next week on changing the heart of your child. And mostly dealing with changing the heart of a rebel or someone who has turned away from the Lord. But let me ask you, do you have the heart of your child? And if you do, how do you know you have it? Or if you believe you do? By the way, it is possible to have the heart of one child, not to have the heart of another. And so we're going to look at that tonight, not very deep, not very long, I don't expect. This challenge to be, but one I think that will be helpful, especially in the area of parenting. So let's go to the Father in a word of prayer before we even look at the verse here tonight. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do first rejoice with Brother Butch and Sister Pat and their just a relief, I guess you would say, and a joy, the safety of the girl they love so much. But Father, we do pray for those families. Father, these are typically young and just beginning to experience so much of life and willing to serve, and I'm sure in so many respects fearful. And Father, lives were taken. Pray for these families. I don't know if they know you. Could it be through this tragedy they come to know you? Father, if they are your children, Father, comfort them, reassure them, and give them hope. Father, again, pray for those that are close and impacted. Hearts be tender to the receiving of your word and to bowing the knee. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Father, it's our prayer and our desire that knees would be bowing every day and tongues would be confessing every day that Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory. May we be about our Father's business. May we practically apply even what we discussed this morning. And be living testimonies for you. Father, I think it's important, a parent-child relationship and heart-to-heart relationship. And so just open up basically this one verse, but the other verses around it that I will use, and help us to really desire to have the heart of our children and even our put into the desire of our children. You said you'd work in us to will and to do your good pleasure. So work in the parents' hearts tonight that they would desire that, and the children's heart that they would obey that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look with me here, again, the 23rd chapter of Proverbs. I'm looking at the 26th verse. Solomon is here still the writer. There are actually three different writers that would pen parts of Proverbs. And Solomon would write, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." It's written as a father-son relationship, and maybe the most difficult, typically because there's not as many emotions there. There's a lot of maybe an adrenaline or masculinity that runs there. It's somewhat difficult to have a heart-to-heart father-son relationship. But here, this father is asking the son to give him his heart, and then asking his son really to give him his eyes, allow his eyes to observe his ways. First of all, I want us to understand what the heart is. As you study through the Word of God, there's several different words used for the heart. So when he asks the son to give him his heart, or you would pray that you would get your child's heart, son or daughter, what are we talking about? Well, this word here used, and it's used 86 times in the book of Proverbs, really is talking about the totality of the inner being. It's talking about their soul, But it's also talking largely about their mind, their intellect. It's talking more than that, though. It's talking about even their will, their determination. It's talking about their conscience and even what we would call the seat of their affection. So it's really talking about everything that's in them. It's talking about that soul, that spirit that's in them, but it's talking about that thinking, their mind. It's also talking about their will, that drive and determination. It's talking about the seat of affection, so it's talking about their emotions. So it's really talking about giving their all of their inner being. And so when we talk about do you have the heart of your child, or trying to determine do you have the heart of your child, you're questioning, do I really have their inner being? Do I have their will? Do I have their determinations? Do I have their appetites? Their conscience? Is their conscience open to my ministering to them? I like the verse thought of for years where the Lord says to Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they should keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which is spoken of him." And so the Lord says, I'm confident in Abraham that he'll go after the heart of his children and that there will be a result of that. So first of all, I want to speak to the young people on this idea of you must obey and observe. There's really a responsibility here, the young person, as the father here would say, my son, give me thine heart. And what the father here is asking that the son would allow his heart to be open to the father influencing it. We are going to be influenced. Many times young people allow television to influence them. They allow music to influence them. They allow friends to influence them. What the writer here is asking for, and this of course being Solomon, he is asking for his son that he would give him his heart. He'd allow his heart to be influenced by his father. I found it interesting. I use again the online Bible I talked about last Sunday evening. And it's actually a command here. And the command is to permit or even devote, dedicate, or designate a connection to. And so what he is saying to here, son, what I want you to do is make sure, determine, devote part of your heart to listening to me and allowing me to influence your heart. You might hear in today's technology, now some of you this might go, but you might hear of a devoted channel, meaning there's going to be a channel devoted just to, and sometimes that can be set up in your sound systems and all, and you have a devoted channel to the stereo, and you have a devoted channel to the television, and you have a devoted channel to the CD player or the DVD drive, whatever it is. Well, what we're talking about here is a devoted channel between the child and the parent, and actually the father's asking for this. He's saying, son, would you devote your heart to listening to me? And again, let me say, I'm not just talking about fathers here. I'm talking about fathers and mothers. I'm not talking about just sons here. I'm talking about sons and daughters. So we're encouraging you young men to devote part of your heart to your mom. We encourage you young ladies to devote your heart to your dad and so forth. Continue to make all those connections. Young men that are here and listening, please understand too, as you get older, that masculinity kicks in. And I think there's a tendency to diminish mom in your eyes. Be really careful of that. I think Solomon presses the button hard on his son not to forsake the law of his mother. I think there's a natural tendency as young men begin to mature to devalue their mother. And I'm not sure why that is, and fathers don't allow that to happen as much as possible within your home. But there's not only an obedience here, and that's an obedience thing, that's a command here. But it's also, there's an observance here. So look here at the second part of the verse, and let thine eyes observe. The word here, observe, has the idea to look on with favor, has the idea to pleased to view. You probably viewed something. Maybe as a parent, you viewed your child doing something and you looked on with favor. You were pleased to watch. Maybe as a grandparent, watching a child in a sporting event or just doing something around the home. Very often as children are growing up and making those first steps and doing those first thing, you know, the parent is delighting in favor of what they're seeing. What's the same idea here? Has the idea to let thine eyes with pleasure now, with anticipation that something special is going to happen. So young people, I want to really encourage you to give your heart and then give your eyes. Now, parents, if the children are watching, the pressure's on. If we say, children, watch what I'm doing, then we need to be careful what we're doing. If we're saying, observe my ways, then we need to be careful how we're living. If we're saying, observe my ways, we need to be careful how we're talking. You can't say, you know, do what I say and don't do what I do. A number of years ago, the story was reported of a young man around the age of 17, 18. I don't remember the exact age, but got into the alcohol and was tragically involved in an accident. Not only killing him, but I believe two or three others in the vehicle. I don't remember anymore. The father, upon hearing the story, was livid. And he says that when he ever can catch the man that sold him the alcohol, he was going to kill him. The father, in mourning, and with a broken heart, got back to his home and walked into the room and saw his bottle of alcohol gone. You know, he had commanded his son, you know, don't drink alcohol. But his son grew up in an alcoholic's home. Grew up in a home where alcohol was enjoyed and participated in. And that young man took from his own father's collection. Again, that's the idea of, you know, don't do as I do, but do as I say. And parents, we've got to recognize if we're calling our children, that there's the expectation to be an example. And that's the second point of my message tonight. Parents, you have an expectation then to be an example. Dad and mom, if you're going to command them to give them their heart to you, then it's your duty to secure the heart as well. I'm not going to elaborate on that a lot, but I think there's several things that you need to do. Number one, get involved in their lives, to participate in the things that they enjoy from the youngest age possible, where you try to get yourself involved in their lives. Don't wait until they're 6, 8, 10 years of age to really engage with them. Try to get involved as much as possible. I remember a man bemoaning the fact with me a number of years ago that he felt he lost his son's heart, and that son had become very rebellious. And he says, I just had no ability because he didn't like doing the things I do. And that father thought that the son had to like what he liked in order to have a relationship. And while it was too late, so I was very careful in how I worded, and we discussed that. But I thought, what a lost opportunity. If a son has to like what you like to have a relationship with you, that really can limit your relationship. And so sometimes, parents, it's breaking out of what you might, your comfort zone, and wanting so badly to have a relationship with your child that you're going to begin to like what they like, and to get involved in what they're involved in and talk to them about the things that they are interested in. And so I think you have to get involved in their lives. I think you have to adapt to their likes and show interest in what they are doing. I think you have to develop family times, and by the way, try to maintain those family times. I think as a family, as much as possible, you need to secure some time on a regular basis that it's just you as a clan, you as a family. Maybe it's easiest to talk about this when mom's not here, okay? Mom's away this evening over at the special musical. But after dad's passing, I just didn't like the fact of thinking mom's alone every night eating supper by herself. And so we began, you know, inviting mom come over for all the supper meals. Sunday she'd come over for lunch. And after a while, Karen and I were talking, you know, it's great to have mom here, but now we never have a chance, just the four of us. And so we kicked mom out a couple of days a week. But you know what? It's important to have time with Caleb and Christy. And to not have mom there. It's important just to be there as a family. And then typically, as our family would go, you know, it's not going to be on the cell phones and not going to be doing that. We're just going to have time together. And so what you need to do is designate. Now, it might not be supper for you. Sometimes meal times can be chaotic enough, but what you need to do is try to find times, create times to have those relationships, and then, you know, do all you can to maintain that. Again, I'm still not happy that mom a couple times a week has to eat on her own, but you know what? I'd rather it be that way and have time with my family than to be in the other way. So again, there's a responsibility then as a parent. My son, give me thine heart, and then let thine eyes observe my ways. So dad, mom, we got to be careful what our ways are. What are we doing? Are we showing faithfulness to the Lord? We can demand of our children to be faithful to church and faithful to the Lord, and then here we aren't faithful. We can try to demand of our children to have a walk and talk with the Lord, and then we don't have a walk and talk in relationship with the Lord. We can demand of our children to get involved in ministry, and when we don't get involved in ministry. And so again, I think there's a responsibility, and that's what I'm really laying. The responsibility of the child is to give the heart and to give the eyes, to be obedient and to observe the ways. But then there's a responsibility of the parent to lead. And so I think that we need to be involved in that. Now, I did a total study here of Proverbs regarding this heart and this father-son heart exchange. And I just want to take you through some of this. This is the practical example now to finish out the remainder of the challenge. I've really taken you to the max of those 2 points. I don't want to just belabor them. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4 with me. And we're going to look at some of these exchanges, not nearly all of them. The Proverbs is loaded with them. But I want to look at some of these exchanges between the father and the son. And you can do the same. It's something very practical you can do as a parent. You can even do it with your children. I would encourage, if you did it that way, to be age appropriate, number one. Number two, maybe read ahead and just take one or two verses here and there like I'm doing tonight, instead of reading whole chapters at a time and maybe kind of missing or losing the point in the midst of everything. But look here with Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to start with verse number 4, where it says, "He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." So he said unto me, and again, let thine heart retain my words. So there's got to be this communication. And what I found with Solomon here, he was constantly preparing his son for life on his own. And that is one of our main goals in parenting, is when our children get to the age where they determine it's time to move out and to move on. What's going to keep their way clean? And Solomon did really well at communicating with his son and really giving him warning. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Familiar passage, chapter 1, verse 10. And many others. My son, he talks about the strange woman and does so on several occasions. Really preparing him when you meet girls, when you meet young ladies who don't act like ladies. How are you to respond? What they're like and what they're after. He covers all that with his son. So that when his son gets into the workplace or gets into the world, he understands, oh, this is that flattery dad was talking about. Oh, I know what she's after. I know what she's trying to get here. So they're not taken by that, blindsided by that, not naive regarding what's going on, but fully understanding. Look what he says in verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Again, so I'm communicating, listen, son, give me thine heart. I'm going to communicate with you, and dads, this is a big part of parenting. Moms, this is a big part of parenting, is communication. Look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And again, getting to the heart and getting through there through communication. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow down thine ear to my understanding. So what is he saying? Son, I've gotten some wisdom, some understanding over the years. Just listen. I'm teaching you from the experiences of life that I have gone through. He's about to talk to his son about a strange woman, about someone who's walking in the world. And I think at a point in time, age appropriate, of course, you need to walk through that, talk about that. And I think you'd want them to listen to you. You'd want them to take careful thought to the wisdom that you've gained over time. And so again, he kind of lays it all out for his son. This is how they may act. This is how they may talk. This is how they may dress. But this is ultimately what they're using to deceive you. Look over chapter 6 with me. Again, chapters 5, 6, and 7, all three of those chapters, he's going to go into some of these discussions about young ladies. And again, I think, again, you have to be age appropriate. But he's preparing his son. He's trying to get his heart. He's communicating. And again, I want to talk to you parents. You've got to communicate with your children. You've got to teach them what you know. You've got to let them know that what you're teaching them is to protect them, as well as prepare them, and also show them this is in God's Word. This is what God wants you to know. And so again, in your parenting, let them know that the reason you're discussing this, and it's not to hurt them, it's not to keep them from having fun. I think that's sometimes their perspective. But the idea, you know what, we've gone through a lot. You know, I could share illustrations like I even did tonight. And some of that is just a show, all right? Through life, we've learned this. Let's really guard ourselves. Let's begin with verse number 20, and I'll read a couple here of chapter 6. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Again, he's not only guarding that father-son relationship, he's guarding that son-mother relationship. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Again, notice getting to the heart here. He says, this is what I want to get to your heart, and I want you to keep this in your heart. I want you to bind this to your heart. Tie them about thy neck. And there were practical ways, by the way, in which Jewish people would do things like this. As Karen and I observed some of the devout Jews and some of the things in which they did while we were in Israel, Becky may have recently observed some of the same. They really got into this idea of tying about them truths of the scriptures and principles to live by. I remember seeing them meticulously tie them to themselves. They were binding them continually about themselves. They would actually bind them close to their heart or even to the frontlet of thine eyes, right there to the forehead. We saw and observed some of that. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, this instruction that I'm giving you. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So one thing I just wanted to talk about really briefly here tonight, again in parenting, is not only making sure you share your opinions and your experiences, share biblical truths with them. And let them see examples from the Bible. And I was reading today in the book of Esther. I'm preparing my heart and for a future series. And I was reading today earlier in the book of Esther, the book of Esther. What's his name? Ahasuerus. Yeah, I was putting an extra syllable in there, wasn't I? But all of a sudden, he was stirred to anger and his heart burned within him. Yeah, Roy, that phrase caught me. I just meditated on that for a while. He got so angry with Vashti and his response there, and he fumed with that anger. He didn't allow it to dissipate. He dwelled on it. And, you know, I asked the Lord to help me when something angers me, that I don't dwell on it, allow it to burn within me. Again, what he is saying here, he's trying to convey to his son not only good ideas and a great opinion and things he's learned through life, but also the Word of God. And so we want to get their attention and have them listen to the Word of God. Look at verse 25. Lust not, look at this, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. So you know what? There's going to be other things vying for your child's heart. Let me ask you a question. We got different parents, different stages of life, but this is not your chance to confess of your child's. But in your observances, all of you, what are some of the things that children can get involved in that can take their heart away from their parents? Just somebody, raise your hand so I can point out. Becky. All right, friends. Sometimes the friends begin to influence them, and they don't listen as much to mom and dad, and they think the friends know more than mom and dad, or at least they like what their friends are talking about more than mom and dad. And so temptation is to pull their heart away from mom and dad and pull it toward friends. Good. Brother Scott. Computer games, yeah. Sometimes that animated can really control them, and they can almost get into a frenzy and then try to get the child to turn off a computer game. And they don't want to turn off because they're not in the right stage yet or whatever. You can tell we have a lot of that going on. We don't. But, you go to levels, I guess, with a lot of them. And you got a child, and all of a sudden, that computer's got their heart, sadly. Was it Brother Chris? Smartphone, social media. What was it called? A smartphone? Is that what? Social media? Okay, that's something I don't know anything about. Again, a child's heart can be drawn to that. By the way, be really guarding of your child's heart in that area Brother Chris just talked about. Social media is one of the biggest things especially a young person beginning around 8, and I think even earlier, and on up, is how social media controls what they do. Because it now controls what they do because they're going to post what they do for everybody else. So you got to be doing the cool thing. Got to be doing the thing everybody wants to hear about. And so how social media has a lock on your child so often. And then getting their identity through their social media. And so be really careful, parents, regarding that. Good. Somebody else. Something else. Yeah, just getting away, pulling away some from church attendance and activities. And again, I think we could go on and on. Developing a relationship with somebody of the opposite gender. Again, all of these things can pull at that. So he says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And again, don't be letting her have your heart, and don't be you observing her ways. So again, he's battling for his child's heart. Let me show you two more verses. Look at 7th chapter, 25th verse. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Again, notice here the heart and the ways. You're trying to get your child's heart to observe your ways. He's warning his son, hey son, be careful that your heart doesn't decline to her ways. Go over to chapter 23 with me. By the way, go not astray in her paths, how that verse ends. Chapter 23, back to where we started. But instead of verse 26, look down to verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Again, the eyes beholding and the heart retaining is going to alter the path of this young man. Now, I've used one area in particular, because this is the area I found this father most often talking to his son. So no doubt this is a young man who's developing in life, and he's just warning his son. But I want you in all areas of life to again recognize, and you need to recognize, okay, I might have my child's heart, but I see something else wrestling to get their heart. And you need to start being careful. You need to start maybe limiting. You need to start engaging about that. No, you know, the sad thing is a lot of times parents allow their children to get involved in things that the parent knows nothing about. And then all of a sudden you lose their heart and you find out it's into this and into that. And you want to get involved. Especially if you see them disobeying you in order to, let's go back to the computer game or social media or something like that. Here they are disobeying you because of a computer game. Or they're disobeying you when you said don't have your smartphone after a certain hour, or don't have your smartphone, use it in your bedroom or whatever, and you find out they are. All of a sudden now they're willing to disobey you for that. Whatever it may be in your life. And in your child's life, what you need to do is continue to guard their heart by going after the things that would take their heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do as parents and young people is to make sure there's a heart connection between parent and child, and keep that connection. Fight for that connection, because we want our children to give us their heart. And then they give us their eyes and observing our ways and then living the life that's an example. Parent, are you being the example you ought to be for your children? If they're going to be observing your ways, you want it to be that which pleases the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this parent-child relationship is very, very important. I ask, Father, you'd help our men to develop early relationships with their children, to get involved in the things that their small children like to do, to invest their time in them, to begin to retain that heart. Father, I think our ladies do it more naturally and sometimes do it out of necessity. I think this is something our men at times can be more lax on. So I pray that our men would focus on them, help them to give attention to that. Help our ladies as well to give attention to. Sometimes it can be so busy in maintaining the house and maybe doing homeschool and keeping everything else up that sometimes we do fall short in that quality time with our children. Father, I pray as well that you'd help our children to be willing to listen. That's one of the keys to giving the heart, is just listening repeatedly. Solomon discusses that. And Father, help our children to listen, to look on with favor. Even as their parents are talking, may they observe, may they listen, may they focus. May they not continue on with a game while listening to the parent somewhat half-heartedly. I pray that our parents will develop some quality time and then defend that. Make needed decisions to make sure that the family develops together and grows together. I pray for our parents that they would be careful in the way they live their lives. They need to be an example of the believer. A pastor is to be an example of the believer. A parent is to be an example of the believer to their children. And so, Father, we can't demand faithfulness when we're not faithful. We can't demand obedience when we're not being obedient. We can't demand, or it's hypocritical to demand a relationship with the Lord when we're not having a relationship with the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that if they're going to observe our life, there'd be something worthy of observance. Our children can see that we have some relationship with you. And we're doing some kind of service for you and talking to people about you and so on and so forth. And so, Father, I pray that we would embrace the heart of our children and do our best to have our children embrace our hearts as well. Guide us May your word influence how we bring up our children. May our parents be reading through Proverbs and getting good examples of what to talk to their children about. Laziness, lying, being deceitful, not careful with their finances, whatever it may be. Solomon talked through so many issues. And so may we develop and dwell on all those as well. Guide us now. Give us safety as we leave tonight. May we enjoy some fellowship one with another. We thank you for what Christ has done for us. Now may we do all we can to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.